Welcome to the Radio Northwest Network and the Lars Larson Show. Glad to be with you, and I'll get back to your call shortly at 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk@larslarson.com. Yesterday, we told you the rather bizarre story about how Governor Kate Brown took it into her head to take a state asset called the Elliott State Forest, which used to be worth $850 million, but under the wise stewardship of the state of Oregon has been run down from $850 million value to just over $200 million value. And she wanted to put it up in a fire sale, and she demanded that a company pay $225 million, not a penny more. Believe it or not, when you're selling something, usually you try to get more for it if you can. But when you're the state and you're a government, sometimes you say, no, we don't want you to pay us more money. And then when she was finally offered it, she backed away from the deal for no really explicable reason. I've invited Bob Zybeck on, who's the president of Northwest Maps Company, who actually has a plan to take that forest, keep it in the public's hands, and make some money with it, whereas today the state of Oregon loses money on it. Bob, thanks for coming back on.
You're welcome, Lars. Good to talk to you again.
So did I get any of that wrong about the Elliott State Forest and that it used to make money and now it doesn't and it used to be worth a lot and now it's not?
No, your interview yesterday with Mr. Charles was right on target. He described everything exactly as it happened. The reason we're not making money is the Endangered Species Act and environmental lawyers. That simple.
So in other words, do you think if the state pushed back on that hard enough and said, look, we can still harvest this forest and not kill whatever, you know, critter that they've come up with lately, they actually have a spotted frog controversy now, and they have already had the spotted owl, and they've had the snowy plover and all the other ones. Can we harvest a forest without hurting the animals?
Well, I don't think there's any animals there to speak of. The main animals are humans and deer and rabbits and squirrels. I don't know how many marbled murrelets are there, but they're showing about one half of the forest as being critical habitat.
Critical habitat. So yep. How would you go about turning this thing into not a money loser, but a money maker, and leave it in public hands?
Well, it was in public hands, and it was a money maker for 50 years. So the formula for making money with it is not difficult. The Giese plan, Wayne Giese is 97 years old next month. He's had a plan on federal forests that he's been pushing for several years and taken it to fairly high levels, but never got a test. We're proposing that the Elliott Forest, Senator Farioli suggested this to Wayne, their longtime friends and associates, as a testing for the Giese plan. Essentially divide the forest up into three components. One component would be the riparian areas and fish. A second component would be old growth habitat. A third component would be managed according to the law, that the maximum efficiency for funding to the schools. So we've taken the Elliott and proposed that about 24 sub-basins be identified, each one with separate fish runs, and that those sub-basins be evenly divided between old-growth habitat and efficient management. So for a 20-year period, and make everything transparent. So everybody in the state, school kids especially, teachers, can monitor what's happening with the two different management approaches, and also what's happening with fish populations and freshwater levels. So at the end of 20 years, we'd have a really well-informed citizenry, an entire generation, that could make a decision then how to continue managing the Elliott, how to manage federal lands, and if they want to sell at that time, they've got an informed decision.
Bob, it would almost be like one of those medical studies where one group is the control group, they get the sugar pill, the other one gets the magic medicine, and at the end of a few months, the doctor says which one did better, and we'll make a choice at that point, except this is not a few months, it's 20 years, but at least in the meantime, they wouldn't be losing money every year on it.
No, they could cut about 50 million board feet a year, which is the historical average for several decades, off the a portion of the sub-basins, about 40,000 acres of sub-basins, set aside for management. And then nothing off the, or maybe some salvage danger trees or something, off the portion of the forest for old-growth habitat. 100% of the forest would be open to public. Recreation would be encouraged. Studies, and scientific studies in particular, would be encouraged. and it would be exactly like a medical test. We'd have old-growth habitat, and we'd have actively managed forest, and we'd have everybody in on the results.
And by the way, just so people know, and Bob, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the number I always use that I was given, I might have been given it by you way back in the day, is that every time you log 1 million board feet, Bob was talking about 50 million, 1 million board feet is 11 jobs. So 50 million board feet is 550 jobs in some of the poorer parts of the state. So 550, you know, total logging, felling, hauling, and milling jobs that would come out of that. Am I wrong on the 11 jobs per million?
You might be right. It used to be 16 million, and then it was 23 and 26 multipliers, the multiplier for 1 million board feet probably 20, 25 years ago. But with mechanization and the other things, it probably is about 11.
Well, plus I'm a conservative, so I'll take the lower end and say even if it's only 11 jobs per million, the ability to generate 550 new family wage jobs in some of the poorer parts of the Northwest, I don't think that would be a bad thing. Bob, do you think there's any chance that your plan might get adopted by either the Democrats in the legislature or the Democrat in the governor's office?
I'm hopeful because the governor at the end of the meeting called for alternative approaches, and she's discussed this specifically with Wayne on at least two occasions. So we're running against it, I know. Jerry Phillips, who ran the forest for 50 years, said this is a great plan. It should be implemented. I think you have no chance because people are emotional, and they're going on birds and old growth and mythology rather than scientific facts. My PhD was in the study of Coast Range wildfires. The reason that the Elliott is all second growth and not old growth is because of 1868 and 1770 fires. Those will happen again if we don't manage.
Well, very good. Hey, Bob, if people wanted to see that plan, like read it and get all the details, where can they find it online if they can?
Well, dang, we just came out with it on the 14th, but I'll put it up there on the www.orww.org website. It's Oregon Websites and Watersheds Project. It's a 20-year-old educational website that Wayne and I founded in 1996, and it's still going.
All right.
Surprisingly.
Bob, thanks a lot. I hope that the governor comes to her senses and actually adopts this alternative, and I appreciate the time today.
I appreciate the support, Art.
Glad to have you on. 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. To Paul in Woodinville, Washington, listening on KVI. Hey, Paul, welcome to the Radio Northwest Network. What's on your mind?